We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the revamped version of the RotoWire College Football Podcast. Nick Whalen here, as always, with John McKechnie. We wanted to keep this podcast alive this season, so what we're going to do is we're going to tack on a college football betting segment at the end of our newest podcast, a partnership with BetMGM. We have the RotoWire Sports Betting Podcast, again, presented by BetMGM. That'll be airing every Friday afternoon. We will then clip off the college football segment of that podcast. We'll throw it in this feed and make sure you're getting an episode each week. It's going to be a little bit shorter than we've done in recent years, but should still be that same great betting content that you guys love from John McKechnie. So hope you guys stick with us this season. We're looking forward to it. And without further ado, here's a preview of week two.
Look out. Rondé. He needs 23. He's across the 40. Open up the history book. Here comes Rondé.
What kind of mythical powers does a Sun Devil have? We've got to consider that.
Embarrassing, but we are who we are. We're not a very good team, but we're 3-1 somehow, and we got all the voters fooled thinking we're pretty good.
Jaworski Lane at 275 pounds showed a heck of a lot of athletic ability.
All right, we're going to talk some college football. Again, make sure you're using BetMGM app, BetMGM.com. Browse the odds, place some bets. Make sure you're using our promo code BETROTO. That's BETROTO, BETROTO. Jonathan, week one, college football, ton of action all last weekend. We had games seemingly every single night for like five straight nights. A little bit of a, I wouldn't say a letdown week in week two, but, you know, kind of let the schedule breathe a little bit. First of all, any quick reactions from week one? And once we move on from that, I want to get into, some of your leans for week two.
Yeah. I mean, coming out, I thought that, I was very excited to see the backyard brawl back. I love a good regional rivalry. And when one gets frozen for like over a decade, the way that Pitt West Virginia did, seeing it come back on that Thursday night, kind of having the stage to itself was a lot of fun. But, you know, beyond that, I think we see a clear separation between the top three teams in college football and everybody else. I don't think that there's really a case to say otherwise, or that the number four team is close to the number three team or the two team, however you want to slice it. Alabama looked just as dominant as ever. I mean, they pitch a shutout and also hang 55 on a Utah State team that was good last year and had its quarterback back, everything like that. Georgia doing something that, other than Ohio State against Michigan State last year, basically hasn't been done between ranked teams, or at least between Power 5 teams, scoring a touchdown on their first seven possessions. Just ridiculous efficiency on Georgia's offense. So if the offense can kind of catch up to where that defense was a year ago, smooth over some of those losses that they had on the defensive side of the ball, then, you know, Georgia's going to be a lot to contend with as well. And then Ohio State winning a slugfest, I thought that was good for them. I think Clemson is clearly a step behind those type of teams. I think the Clemson defense is phenomenal. I think the offense is going to be what drags them down, unless Cade Klubnik ends up being the dude there. But that's a difficult political decision that Dabo is going to have to make. He hasn't always done that correctly as far as his quarterback management and, you know, pulling the ripping the Band-Aid off for when it's time for the next man up to really take it on. Did it well with Trevor Lawrence. didn't do it so well with Deshaun Watson. We'll see how it shakes out with DJU and Klubnik. And then I think I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this, but is Florida back?
I don't think Florida's back. And quick shout out to Kelly Bryant, by the way, a casualty of that Clemson quarterback carousel for a while there. But no, I don't think Florida's back quite yet. I think we've jumped the gun on teams like Florida, including Florida, I should say, being back a number of times over the last few years. So no, I'm not quite ready to go there. They certainly look good against a very, very good Utah team. That was one of the most fun games to watch. I love Anthony Richardson. No complaints about that. But you got to do it for, you have to at least do it for one season before you're back. I don't think one game can completely resurrect you at this point. I think we've had that conversation about teams like Texas and USC so many times. And in fact, they have never been back to date. So I'm skeptical to get there with Florida, but monster win for the Gators to begin the year.
Huge. As someone who definitely bandied about the idea of playoff team Utah, that was a kick to the pants. And I'm not the biggest Florida guy in the world, but you got to call it what it is. It's an impressive win for Florida. Billy Napier first game, pretty good as far as Florida goes. But those are the main takeaways. LSU going to be pretty far away from that 2019 type of dominance. Well, we'll see what happens. I think Brian Kelly, nobody likes Brian Kelly. I think people are a little bit too ready to pile on him no matter what. So I don't know. We'll see what comes of his tenure down there on the Bayou. Always felt like a weird fit to begin with, but obviously it couldn't have gotten off to a much rougher start than playing the way that they did, then having a chance and then blowing it, and then having all the special teams things that also fueled, second guessing whether they should have kicked the extra point in the first place. My goodness. That game was, oh my God, for a Sunday night standalone. I loved how bad and strange that game was.
All right. So let's look at week two. Like I said, we don't have quite as many bangers on the schedule this week. Alabama, Texas, I think in terms of the programs involved, is the very, very clear headliner, but I think there's a feeling that this could be this week's version of Ohio State, Oregon, right? Where you got Alabama going on the road to DKR in Austin as 20-point favorites against Quinn Ewers and the Longhorns. So we'll start there, and we'll kind of matriculate our way maybe to some games that we think might be a little closer.
I think Alabama covers very comfortably. I think that this is the type of loss that makes everyone question Steve Sarkisian in that hire. I think it's the type of loss that makes whoever is signed at Texas maybe think twice about it. Although with NIL now and everything that goes into recruiting in that sense, maybe the bag is still too good in Austin to pass up, even if that the product on the field is a little bit less than what it should be. And I think it could also even stir some doubts in as to why Quinn Ewers was rated as the best high school quarterback ever, dating back to Vince Young. I mean, I think that this is going to be really a brutal loss for Texas, and that it's going to be at home. It's going to be that big noon kickoff, everything like that. Okay. I think, Sark, having worked for Saban too, Saban's going to really kind of take it to him. And I think that Alabama has the horses to do exactly that. I think Bryce Young is just on another level. I think you also have a couple offensive linemen, freshman offensive linemen for Texas, trying to hold up against Will Anderson and Dallas Turner. Yours might get sacked 7-8 times in this game. I think it could be a romping. I think it could be something like Bama pushing 50, and I think Texas staying under 20.
Yeah, it kind of has that feel, and you said it at the top of this segment. The biggest thing that it feels like continues to happen year after year is this further separation from the top three or four teams and everybody else. It's jarring to see a 3-7 matchup, and it's a 45-point differential. But that's kind of where we are, in terms of how the recruiting has fallen the last few years. So I'm with you on that. I'm certainly not one to go against Alabama in these situations, especially with Saban, going against one of his former assistant coaches. That never seems to end well. What other lines pique your interest this week?
So we do have a couple other interesting ones. Wake versus Vandy, I think it is where this will be maybe the only time this year, you know, there's only going to be a handful other times where a line jumps the way that it did. But with Sam Hartman got cleared on Tuesday afternoon, this game went from, you know, Wake Forest -7 to now like -13.5. That's a huge, huge difference. The type of difference in a point spread that can only be made by a quarterback, either, you know, going out or coming back. Vanderbilt obviously been a pretty nice story. I think that, you know, they go out, they trounce Hawaii the first week of the season. That they kind of get their own spotlight during that. They took care of business against Elon last weekend.
That's a really good Elon team.
I mean, yeah, it's in a beautiful school to boot. But, you know, we're looking at a Wake Forest team that I think is going to come in there. And, you know, I think two touchdowns is about right. But if Vanderbilt stays within that number, then all of a sudden, you know, Vanderbilt kind of slowly maybe takes that first step towards being something other than a complete doormat in the SEC East. So we'll have to see there. And then UT, Tennessee versus Pitt. I really like this matchup. I think that they're two kind of like, you know, Spider-Man memes of each other in a little ways within the SEC and the ACC, although Pitt obviously had a bit more recent success than Tennessee has, but Tennessee on the road giving 6, I still like them. I'm really in on this Tennessee team. I think that the experience that they have, the offense that they run, it's going to be tough for Pittsburgh to stop. And I think on the other side, it's important to note that I'm very skeptical of Keaton Slovis. I just don't think that he's going to end up being the guy that they hoped he was going to be coming over from USC. And then your late night snack, BYU versus Baylor. Those are two really, really good teams going at it. BYU 3-point favorites at home. We're going to have to see if BYU can get healthy at the receiver position. Puka Nacua, a little bit banged up. Gunnar Romney missed the game last weekend. Mm-hmm. If one or both of those guys are in action, this is a really nice test to see if Baylor is going to be up to that caliber that we saw a year ago when they won the Big 12. And it's going to be on the road too.
Yeah, kind of a strange matchup there, Baylor and BYU mm-hmm. as an early season matchup. We get USC Stanford in that late window. That'll be the ABC game. We're gonna have Arizona State and Oklahoma State as well. Any interest in any of those Pac-12 games at the end of the night? I mean, obviously that, you know, Oklahoma State not a Pac-12 team, but that one will be at their home field. They're -12.5 over Arizona State, and you know USC not a massive favorite over Stanford.
Stanford's always where the traps come, right? You know, like last year, Oregon, some people sniffed that out early. It was pretty impressive that, you know, people would say that Stanford is going to be the one that beat that Oregon team that happened to beat Ohio State. It's like, oh, wow, how did you find that one? But, you know, they did. But I think USC goes into the farm and takes care of business. I think that's a double-digit win for them. Stanford might be tough and everything, and that they've got the good ground game, good quarterback, but I think that there's just too much on that USC side. So really like USC there. Arizona State, obviously they just took on an FCS opponent last week, whereas Oklahoma State played a, you know, a decent Central Michigan team and, you know, they mostly put them away, and then Central started to storm back just a little bit, made the score respectable. But I think that this is a pretty good Oklahoma State team versus a probably not very good at the end of the day Arizona State team. So the line reflects that, and I'm still willing to back the favorite here. I think that Oklahoma State goes ahead and wins this one by closer to 2 touchdowns. So I like them. But that actually does stand out to me as one of the more fun games on Saturday. We don't get a ton of cross-conference Power 5 matchups this week, but that's one of them, and you know we'll take it where we can get it.
My man, looking forward to week 2 of the college football season, and of course very, very much looking forward to week 1 of the NFL season. Keep listening with us all throughout the NFL season. We will be coming to you weekly every single Friday afternoon. Again, make sure you're using betmgm.com or the BetMGM app, and our promo code is BetRoto, BETROTO. We'll be back next week. Looking forward to a fun weekend of football.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.